There must be confirmation for two things regarding what's wrong and regarding a witness. Number one, the Bible tells us regarding what's wrong, it says, no one man shall judge, no one witness shall accuse nobody of sin, and it stand alone. Deuteronomy 19 and 15. No one man can't do it. Not one man. It said, no one man. Amen. No one man. It says that you got to have more than one person. Amen. Amen. And I didn't get that on the screen, but I'm going to make sure I didn't misquote that. Amen. But it tells us in Deuteronomy 19 and 15, no one witness shall not rise up against one man for any iniquity, for any sin. No one person. You got one person, one witness against a man. You can't kill nobody on no one person's word. Amen. You got to have some confirmation. So go get some confirmation, because you may be wrong. Have I got a witness? You got to get, and you may be wrong, and so therefore you have got to confirm the fact. You saying it's wrong. Do anybody else think it's wrong? And these ought to be people that know the word. Don't go get nobody ain't never read the Bible. They just come to choir rehearsal and don't go to Bible study and using them for a witness. No, you need to get somebody who's been in the word. Amen. The people in the Bible were brought before the elders, folk who already knew the word, and the leaders, and they were condemned in front of. Well, the fact of the matter is he said, no one man. Let me get you on. The truth is, he says that it must be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. May every word be established. The truth is that you may be wrong and you need some confirmation that you do they agree. Is there others who feel, who are spiritual, that this is wrong that you're accusing this person of? So you got to go get some more witnesses, because can't no one person, no one witness can come against any one man about any sin. And so now you have two or three more, amen, witnesses of what this person is being accused of. Amen. Amen. Now this lets us know that you don't mess up and stop. Amen. You could have stopped. You see, you could have stopped in verse 15. You could have stopped there, but he says, don't mess up and be silent, and don't mess up and stop. He said, if you don't hear you, don't just say leave it alone, because you know what's going to happen if you leave it alone. They didn't agree with you that was wrong, and now they're talking about it. You done started the process. Now you got to go back with somebody else. See, God ain't going to let it hang out there, because you know they're going to tell everybody, and now it's loose. It's loose now all over, and it's going to spread, and then you got more and more folk to fix. It's spreading like wildfire. Have we got a witness? And so now don't mess up and stop talking about it. Right now you got to go and finish the process. But take somebody else with you. And God says, you know, you got to see if they agree that this person is wrong. And then when that's confirmed by some witnesses, yep, they're wrong, then you're in good company. One version says, the NLT says, but if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed, proving to one or two witnesses. Another version says, but if he won't listen, take one or two more with you, so that the testimony of the two or three witnesses, every fact can be established. You're saying that now it can be established. Another version says, but if he will not listen to you, take one or two other persons with you, so that every accusation may be upheld by the testimony of two or more witnesses, as the scripture says. And then finally, Eugene Peterson makes it real plain. He says, if you won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest. You see what I'm saying? But keep things honest and try again. Because what you're trying to do is to establish truth. Establish truth. So don't mess up and be silent. Don't mess up and stop talking. Amen. You have to finish the process, because Satan, amen, takes advantage, amen, of that. And so you got to understand that he says, again, there must be confrontation. If you don't want to mess, there must be confirmation about the mess, because who says it's a mess besides you? Amen. And then it finally, he says that there must be separation. Amen. There must be separation. It says in this verse, in verse number 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, see now, he's saying everybody wrong. I'm right and all of y'all are wrong. Tell it again. See, don't stop the process. Amen. Don't mess up and stop. Amen. Tell it again. Tell it this time. You're going to tell it to the church. You know, a lot of people don't do this. I don't think I've heard this practice. Tell it to the church. Again, the church is an established body that represents Christ, supposedly with leaders that are godly and know the word. Yes. Amen. They are people, persons who know. Amen. Understand here, you're not just telling a group of people, and they are not. You're telling the people that God has in place, that's representing His church. You're telling His representatives, and so to reject them is to reject the lordship of Jesus Christ. When you reject His church, the church ought to be able to go into situations in the lives of its membership and rule on certain cases. Tell them what the Bible says, and they ought to stop or start this. There is no such thing as a church running loose out from under the authority of Scripture. Not man, but the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why I don't like to counsel people. They come and talk to you about 4 or 5 hours, and they ain't gonna do nothing you said. Amen. But there was a time you were brought before the elders. Whatever was ruled, you had to do it. They say, oh, I see you're doing this in your life. And it's established in Scripture by more than one person that the Bible says that's wrong. You got to stop. And we're giving you directions right now what you're supposed to do. Stop. Amen. If you're under the authority of a church, then they are responsible for your welfare spiritually. And they said, this is unacceptable. Get out of that relationship. Quit doing this. I hear you doing this. We want to stop that. Stop. But the members don't, and they're not controlled. They're not willing to be under the rule of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not one person, but the church. The church spoke on this matter. So you got to take your butt back home. Have you got a witness? You got to cut that off. You got to quit that. You got to get out of that relationship. You got to get out of that lifestyle. You got to quit doing that. We don't want to see you doing that. You representing Jesus. Amen. I know that sounds, I don't know. Well, I don't know how it sounds, but the truth of the matter is there ought to be some accountability in the Christian's life. And the accountability is not to people, it's to God. Because the people that represent all be saying, thus says the Lord. If they can't find it in here, they ain't got them in saying nothing to you. Because ain't nobody qualified to judge nobody. Ain't nobody really qualified. From the pulpit to the back door, ain't nobody qualified. And they shouldn't be. All we talking about is the word. What did the word say? That's where the truth is established, in the word. It's not my word, it's His word. It's His church. He died for this church. This is an institution that is set up by God. Well, the fact of the matter is, don't make the mistake of being silent. Don't make the mistake of stop talking. Amen. Don't make the mistake of being sympathetic. Amen. Don't make the mistake of being sympathetic. I could say empathetic because you're just as bad as they are. But the truth is, don't make the mistake of being silent, sympathetic, because it says if they don't hear you, then you need to separate yourself. Amen. Amen. There ought to be you cut off. They ought to be, you deal with confirmation, you deal with confrontation, confirmation, and cut off from the fellowship. They are cut off from the fellowship, and this is not for some personal vendetta you don't like about them or don't like them, or some personal issue. This is about God only. You don't have a church. Let God solve your problem like he's done. You ain't got no business using biblical rules for your purposes. This is for the God's house. I wish I had a witness. And the fact of the matter is that he says that if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee a heathen and a publican, or like a non-Christian. Apparently, you're not even saved. You don't want to obey the Bible. And you got all these witnesses saying that, yep. And now the whole church and said, yep, you're wrong. And you still trying to hold on to your sin. That is not going to work in the face of God. So now we got to cut you from the fellowship. Now, does that sound mean? I mean, how does it make you feel? It probably don't make you feel good. It don't make me feel good preaching it, but I know it don't probably make you feel good. You say, oh, that church is so full of negativity. God says, cut them off from the fellowship. Amen. And one virgin says, amen, if you're unsuccessful. Well, facts may be established. The accusation may be upheld by the testimony of two or three. But keep them honest. Establish truth. And it says, if a member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be as unto you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And that was bad news for the Jews. You're a Gentile. We're going to treat you like an unsaved person. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're hurt that we won't give you no food, we won't give you no water. It doesn't mean that. But regarding this sin issue, we can't afford to be lenient. Amen, amen, amen. You're still a human being. But you still don't need nobody going around the corner patting you on the back. Have we got a witness? Talking about they did you wrong. I don't know what's wrong with the pastor. I don't know what's wrong with the church. I don't know what's wrong with them deacons. I don't. You know how we do. Y'all don't do it, but other churches. Amen. You hear about it. Amen. Amen. You cannot do that. That's not going to make your church healthy. Trying to give hope to somebody who's hanging on to sin. Sin is wrong. And we all struggle with it. But when you start, amen, amen, agreeing with your sin, then you got a real problem, especially when the word disagrees with it. Amen. And that's what everyone has to be working on. They have to be, everything is established on the word. Amen. Amen. And so he says, amen. We notice how this version says it. If the member, this version says that, and if he will not listen to them, then tell the whole thing to the church. The whole thing. Everybody say whole thing. Amen. Finally, if he will not listen to the church, treat him as though he were a pagan or a tax collector. Folk causing messes in your church, messy members, messy ministers, messing up everything, messy marriages, messy, messy. And you messing up everything, and then you got somebody trying to hold on to them and pat them down. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know what's... No... Now, understand, this is separation is never for destruction. It's always for restoration. You're always trying to win. In your heart, matter of fact, there's something wrong with you if you don't want the people. If you're against them and don't, if you don't want them restored, you ought to want them restored. And the goal is kind of like whipping your children. Amen. The church has discipline just like the home has discipline. You really know it hurts you more than it hurt them. But you love them enough to go ahead and take care of your business. Love is expressed. It's called, I guess I'm going to call it tough love. It's love, but it's just tough love. It's when you got to do something you don't want to do. And you just praying that they just come around, that they come to their senses. Amen. Just like that prodigal boy did. That prodigal boy. Amen. He left home. He left his father, and he went to a far country. He said, and he found himself living with prostitutes, and he had asked his dad for the money, and he was out from under the leadership, out from under all those rules at home. And now I'm out there in the world, and I took my money from my parents. Amen. Amen. I didn't work for it. Like they did. I got me some money, and I went and found me some women. Amen. And I got me some wine, and I partied. I was in every hot tub. In town, and I was in every club in town, and I was living it up, and pretty soon my friends got thin, and my money ran out, and amen, the folks started looking at me strange, and then all of a sudden I found out what I was out of money, and then I had to go find a job, amen, and I finally got one feeding hogs, amen. Now I'm eating with the hogs. I moved from the whores to the hogs. Have I got a witness? I left home for the whores, and I went on to the hogs. I will arise, and I will go to my father. You see, you got to get to that point to where you're repentant. But you know what? If they'd have patted that boy down, he never would have come around. We make things too easy for our kids. Sometimes they got to eat some slop. And if you quit bailing them out, I wish I had a witness. If you quit rescuing your kids, they would have bumped their head by now and woke up. Because this boy had to smell this slop and run out of money and get abandoned to realize what he had. Sometimes kids don't know what they got. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And he said, I will arise. There's repentance in his heart. He says, I'm remorseful about my sin. I will arise. Nobody has to make me go. I'm going to get up, and I'm going home. And I'm going to confess my sin to my father, and I'm going to let him know I have sinned. I'm not going to beautify it. I'm not going to say I was having a weak moment. I wish I had a witness. I have sinned. Luke 15:17 lets us know he came to himself. Our sins will bring us to ourselves, because our sin is not further. Your mother and father are not your enemies. The church is not your enemies. And the church shouldn't be against sinners. It should be against sin, because we all sinners. I'm not mad at the sinners. I'm mad at the sin. You remember that man who was that boy that was trying to date his mama in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2? And then they told him in 1 Corinthians 5, 2, I didn't get that. He said that, you know, y'all in that church doing some, Paul said, y'all doing some stuff the Gentiles don't even do. You got a boy down there dating his mama, his stepmama. I mean, even the Gentiles got more morals than that. How you going to date your stepmama? And then he said, why haven't you all gotten together and put him out? Oh, you read it when you get home. 1 Corinthians 5. Put him out. Why? For the destruction of the flesh. And he says, turn him over. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 5 said, turn him over to Satan. That's a bad thing. When God said, turn him over to Satan. He don't want to follow the Lord. He wants to follow the devil. So let Satan have him. Go on with the Satan. See how well he treats you. Go on, and he said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction. You know Satan going to tear him up. Satan going to wear him out. Satan going to destroy him. Satan going to give him a beat down. Satan, when he get through messing with Satan, he ain't going to have no teeth. He going to have no clothes. He going to have no money. He going to have no job. When the devil get through, he may be somewhere in a corner with an addiction and diseases. When the devil get through with you, amen. He said, turn him over to Satan. Lord, have mercy. That he himself may be saved. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You got to understand that God is calling us. You don't mess up. Don't make the mistake, amen, of feeling sorry for sin. Don't get sympathetic on God. God says sin is a dangerous thing, and it must be dealt with in a very, can't be lenient. You can't play with it. Sin is something you got to be real strong and emphatic about. Amen. You can't play with sin. You got to come against sin. This is serious business when you start talking about sin. Have we got a witness? He says, so I tell you, amen. Oh, God says, I'm going to stand behind it. Amen. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Most people think that's talking about a lot of other things. But what it is talking about is that I am with my church as my church government. The ecclesiastic, the church, I'm standing behind their ecclesiastical authority. And they have ruled on this issue. And the issue is that the boy is wrong. And so God says, whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. I got your back. Whatever you permit on earth shall be permitted in heaven. Amen. Amen. Whatever you bind on earth, if you say, look, I'm behind you all 100%. And I like the way Eugene Peterson puts it. Amen. He says this way. Amen. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Amen. When my church speak, a no on earth is a no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this. Amen. Amen. God says, I've got their back. The church, until I get there, is operating under my rulership and under my lordship. And the ecclesiastical body of the church, those leaders in the church who know me and who I've appointed in place, they are responsible to hold this membership accountable. You don't have people ripping and running and doing any and everything they want without accountability. Yes, we're all sinners. But amen, we're using the word of God to keep us all straight, and nobody is beyond it. The ministers are messy. The members are messy. Nobody. Go to all of them. Because the authority of the word of God is what rule, and it reigns in my church. And you all are to represent my church and straighten that stuff up. Straighten that mess out. Straighten that mess out. Straighten that mess out. Straight. But you got so many folk, they don't really want to get involved in the mess. Amen. They don't want to cut out no mess. They busy being friends, busy making connections, building reputations, busy. They ain't really getting in fight. They ain't getting nobody upset. They definitely ain't burning no bridges. No, sir. That's not even on their calendar. We have to be bold enough to really take a stand for God. If the church ever gets there, including me, if the church ever gets there, then it's going to really be more effective for the Lord. Because when there's unaccountability running rampant in the church, then the church don't have any drawing power because people know the truth about these people. And they're not held accountable. Amen. Y'all done hung up on me. Amen. Don't hang up on me. Amen. Don't hang up on me. But they lose rights, privileges to the membership. They have to be treated like a Gentile so that they can come to themselves. And when they come to themselves, it's time to have a party. Have I got a witness? When a sinner comes back home, when a relationship is mended, when a husband goes back to their family, when a child goes back to their parents, it's time for us to have a party. You're talking about a fellowship hall. That's when we really ought to have a party. Our brother, which was lost and he was driven away by Satan, now he has come back home. Now it's time to have a party. Amen. But don't mess up. Amen. Don't mess up and be silent. Don't mess up and stop the process. Don't mess up and become sympathetic about sin. Don't mess up. Amen. Amen. God wants us, he don't want us to feel sorry for sin, but there's a man named Jesus. There's a man named Jesus who fixed up what we messed up. Amen. He has made provisions for restoration. And isn't that wonderful? God said, I know you made a mistake, but I got some tough love I'm going to have to put out on y'all that's going to bring you back. And whatever your ruling is, that if any of you agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask that is done in my name, when you meet in your celestial ecclesiastical court and you pray for God about this situation, God says, I'm going to be in agreement with you. If you got godly people who know the word, who are in agreement, God says, I'm going to be in agreement with you. As you lead out in prayer and talk to these people in a loving way and let them know that God loves you, but we can't tolerate. We don't like sin. We love sinners. But we don't love sin. We ain't went that far. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of it. Know that I'm there with you at your council for the mending for the party. Have I got a witness? Stand to your feet, amen, as we go now to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Bow your heads and look inside. Was there ever a time that you gave your life to Christ? Do you need some fences to be mended? Have you been feeling sorry for sin? Have you been silent about sin? Have you stopped the process, the biblical process, for running and leading his church? God wants you right now to be restored. Don't think that you can't be restored. Jesus died for our restoration. And he says, I want you to be back into the family. I want to have a party. But I don't want you hurting your church. I don't want you hurting your family. I don't want you hurting your parents. Those things are just don't come under my kingdom rule. My people are accountable to me. And we handle things right. And I don't want no mess in my church. The leaders are responsible. But lovingly and humbly dealing with the membership. And so now, Lord, if there's somebody that don't know you, we pray that they will say, I'm a sinner, I repent, and I want to be a Christian in my heart. I accept your lordship. If you're here today and you want to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, as we're about to give the invitation, I want to be ruled by Jesus. I want you to fix my heart. Fix my heart. For we know that salvation occurs, takes place in the heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can everybody say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, this will straighten out the church. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Give me a clean heart so I may serve thee.
Lord,
fix my heart so that I may by thee.